taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you were everyday Americans.
Paul told Timothy in the first book of Timothy, chapter 6, verse 10, "For the love of money is root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Now, Lord Acton told us that power tends to corrupt and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Great men are always bad men, even when they exercise influence and not authority. Still more when you superadd the tendency of the certainty of corruption by authority. Now, let's take a look at these two quotes, because they tell us something we should already know. Both money and power can be dangerous influences. But have you ever considered what happens when you're dealing not only with money or power, but with money and power? In that case, the outcome can be truly described as catastrophic. Sadly, both money and power have become centralized in America today, and the cost to we the people is great indeed. From the looming recession to the multitude of shortages, from the transgenderism movement to the abortion debate, we are seeing the whirlwind of the American people not only allowing money and power to be centralized in government and large corporations, but the fact that basically we the people asked for this. Well, hello there, everyday Americans. My name is Paul Engel. You've joined the Constitution Study. And today we're looking at that deadly combination, money and power, and how it is being used to not just impact American society, but to destroy what it means to be America, to be a constitutional republic. Now, there are several examples, and I've got quite a few in my stack today, but I'm going to start off with the baby formula crisis. Now, I've already reported to you that was it Abbott Labs or Abbott Farms, whatever, they produce something like 40% of our domestically made baby formula. They were shut down not because of a problem with the formula, but because of something that was found in the plant, and it's been months trying to get that plant back online. Well, now information has come out about some of the other effects of the reaction to COVID. See, generally, U.S. regulators, historically, they inspect baby formula plants at least once a year. However, they did not expect any of the three biggest manufacturers in 2020 at all, at least according to records reviewed by the Associated Press. Now, I want you to stop and think about that for a second. U.S. regulators. Understand, we the people have asked the federal government to protect us from bad baby formula. From bad everything. We the people allowed the federal government to say, no, we are going to be the ones in charge. And suddenly we act like, oh, well, it's the U.S. regulators. They're perfect. They never make a mistake. They would never do anything wrong. But what do we see? Here we have once again the overreaction, the scaredemic that was COVID-19. Where we locked people down, we shut down the economy, we created our own disaster. And one of the unintended consequences is that these regulators that we have hired saying, hey, we give you the power, along with the money to do it, to inspect these baby formula plants to make sure they're safe. Except they didn't do any in they didn't inspect the three largest manufacturers in all of 2020. Now, according to these records, after a two-year hiatus, when they did actually inspect the Abbott Nutrition Formula Plant in Michigan after that two-year gap, they found standing water, lack sanitation procedures, and others. And what did the inspectors do? Well, they offered voluntary suggestions for fixing the problems and issued no formal warning. Well, again, the federal government, when did we give them the power to oversee manufacturing? The answer is we didn't. But let's stop for a second here. Let's pretend that this is the right way to do things. So they found problems. Okay, audits find problems all the time. That's the purpose of an audit. The purpose of the audit is to show the mistakes that have been made and give you the opportunity to fix them. At least that should be the problem. But okay, they offered voluntary suggestions, but they didn't issue a formal warning. And this is seems to be put in the context of, oh my God, they didn't issue a formal warning. Well, yeah, if they found a problem, don't you want to give them at least a chance to fix it before you write them up? Now, according to the story I'm reading in the Epoch Times, inspector returned after 5 months and after four infants who had consumed powdered formula from the plant suffered a bacterial infection. They did find bacterial contamination inside the factory, and as I understand it, it wasn't in the formula, it was in other parts of the family of the factory, and this led to a shutdown, which has contributed to this crisis. Now, I want to look at this a little differently because, okay, we have placed government in charge of inspecting our baby formula plants to make sure that they are safe and sanitary, and we forget that governments are made up of people. People did this. There are people that work in the factory. There's people that manage the factory. There's people that do the inspections. There's people that manage the inspectors. These are all people, and people are human. So they found problems. The inspectors came in. They found problems, and they warned Abbott Nutrition about it. And apparently, I don't know what Abbott Nutrition did to remediate these problems. All I do know is that 5 months later, the inspectors came in and found problems. They found contamination. But think about it this way. Why is the shutdown of a single plant led to a disastrous shortage of baby formula in the United States? Have you thought about that? Well, part of it is there are onerous regulations. We, the people, said, here, federal government, we're not only going to give you the we don't actually want you to inspect, we want you to regulate. We want you to make sure our baby formula is safe. So they put in regulations, many of which are onerous, which makes it very difficult for smaller outfits to actually enter the market. They tend to get bought up and consolidated into these large companies that make these large plants, meaning you have no redundant, you have limited redundancy. I spent 30 years in IT. So I tend to think along the sides of a data center. And the one thing I never wanted to do was put all of my eggs in one basket, not even a significant number of eggs. I wanted multiples. I wanted layers. I wanted things so that if one thing went down, it didn't cripple the entire data center. But here we have a single plant that has crippled, apparently, America's baby formula production. Because we turned over to government, and a government's a one-size-fits-all. Government regulations are truly, they're one size fits all, which means unless you happen to be able to absorb the cost of regulation, you can't enter the market. And now, again, something on the order of 40% of our formula is created in this one plant, and it shuts down and disaster happens. See, we've centralized power, and power tends to corrupt. Now, I don't know what was going on in the people that managed the Abbott Nutrition plant in Michigan. I'm sure they didn't want to shut down. I'm sure there was pressure for them to remain open. But again, the centralization of power, the corruption of power, has led us to another disaster. But again, we have to remember that everyone is human. So apparently back in October, there was a report sent to the FDA warning about the state of the Abbott Nutrition plant in Michigan, that they were experiencing product shortages primarily due to some unsanitary conditions. Back in October. Well, according to the FDA officials, the reason the agency didn't do anything is the whistleblower's report got lost in the mailroom. Now, whether you believe it or not, I don't find it, you know, what do they say when you hear hoofbeats? Think horses, not zebras. Put another way, I tend to assume incompetence over conspiracy. But again, it's human nature. And if the only inspection, if the only regulation of these plants is a Food and Drug Administration, all it takes is one mistake there to lead to a potential disaster. But we've decided we're going to consolidate this power. And we never take thought of what is the long-term cost of that. But there are solutions. Well, for example, there's an outfit called All American Pharmaceuticals. They have a plant in Billings, Montana, where they create baby formula. But they're not allowed to sell it in the United States. Why? Well, again, federal regulations. The same federal regulations that helped create the shortage are now preventing a possible solution. Now, rather than looking at American company and saying, okay, what can we do to cut through the red tape and get your product to market in this emergency? No, instead, the Biden administration says, we'll buy it from overseas. Does that make sense to anyone? You see, the All-American Pharmaceuticals makes a product that, as I understand, the formula is identical to what's currently being sold in the United States, but they haven't gone through all the bureaucratic hoops, the studies and the tests and all that. So they can, apparently they can sell their product to children over age one, but not to infants under 12 years of age, even though they sell in Canada, they sell in Mexico, but the government argues their product is a new label. Somehow this is new label, and therefore they can't sell it for infants in the United States. See, when you create power, people like to exercise power. So the same FDA, the people at the FDA, they said, we're going to send you through all these rigorous tests. We're going to make you redo and duplicate information we already have in many cases. Nope, we've got to have all these regulations. Well, it's always to keep you safe, but you never think of the unintended consequences. How many babies are going hungry because they haven't done all the paperwork yet? And how long is it taking those in the federal government to do the paperwork? Now, that's just baby formula. It's not just baby formula. There are studies showing that homeschooling is growing rapidly over pre-pandemic levels, while at the same time, public school enrollment drops. Now, why is that? Well, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, approximately 3% of homes homeschooled in 2012. But according to data from 18 states, homeschooling, home educated students skyrocketed 63% in the 2020-2021 academic year and then fell by only 17% in the 21-22 school year. Why? Well, for the very same reason that public school enrollment seems to be going down. It fell by 3% in the 2020-2021 school year. Because parents saw what was being taught in their government-run schools. I know we call them public schools. No, these are government-run schools. They are government-funded. Their curriculum is government-dictated. Their policies and regulations are government-ordered. These are government schools. Parents started seeing what was going on, and they said, ah, this isn't a good thing. Let's do it ourselves. Now, not all parents can do that. I understand. My wife and I, we had made plans so that we could homeschool our daughter, and we are very happy that we did. But you see, there's another one, another opportunity. See, in New York City schools, public school enrollment is dropping, but charter school enrollment is seeing tremendous growth. Parents are trying to flee from the public schools into the charter schools. Now, charter schools are unique. They are semi-government schools. They don't have all the rules and regulations of a pure government school. But again, what do we see? I look at it and say, I want diverse opportunities. Give me homeschooling as an option. Give me public schooling as an option. Give me charter school as an option. Give me options on formula. Better yet, give me information and let me decide. See, that's the problem with putting power, centralizing power in government. It's not enough for them to test and give us information. They then deem they must decide for us. It isn't good enough for them to say, listen, we found a problem with this plant and maybe you should do something. They're going to tell you, no, you can't buy because we found this problem. Now, I have to take a break, but before I do, I want you to please check out HealthyCell.com. Now, I don't know about you, but especially when I travel, I can't sleep well. I end up tired. It's hard to get the work done. It's awful. It's a terrible feeling. My wife frequently has problems sleeping, and she has for, well, as long as I've known her. Well, HealthyCell has a product called REM Sleep. It helps you fall asleep and stay asleep so you can wake up refreshed and ready to go. It is the only supplement designed to support all four stages of sleep, and you can find it at HealthyCell.com. Now, as an America Out Loud listener, they will give you 20% off your first order. All you have to do is use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. So go to HealthyCell.com, put your cart together, put whatever products you want in there. Today, I am recommending you try the REM Sleep and use that code OUTLOUD at checkout. It lets HealthyCell know that you listen to America Out Loud. And as a thank you, they'll give you 20% off your first order. So once again, that's HealthyCell.com. Just please use the code OUTLOUD at checkout to get 20% off your first order.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep can be infuriating. Your mind races. You toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's digital age makes it even harder. You're not alone with this struggle. Poor sleep affects over 70% of Americans. Even the Centers for Disease Control label insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. To take back your sleep, HealthyCell has created REM Sleep, the only sleep supplement made to support all four stages of human sleep with calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support delivered in a patent-pending, pill-free, ultra-absorption microgel formula that tastes great. Fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed with HealthyCell's REM Sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
There are microbes in the air and they're in your house, and the Genesis Fogger is the solution. This is a mobile fogger that uses a unique technology to give a non-toxic dry mist to cleanse the air and cleanse your rooms of microbes, whether they be bacterial, fungal, or viral, including SARS-CoV-2, COVID-19. So go to the Genesis Fogger website and use the promo code OUTLOUD for a discount on your purchase of the model and get going with a cleaner house, as there could be more microbes on the way. We're concerned about not only the current pandemic, but future ones. So let's get real, let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Here on America Out Loud, we emphasize optimal health, and air is the most essential element for life. The average person inhales over 35 pounds of air every day. Yet we seldom think about how to rid the air of pathogens swiftly and safely when we need to. The Genesis Fogger Plus HOCL is the only way to quickly and naturally restore air to its optimal condition. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud for a free ebook on everything you need to know about HOCL and receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You're rejoining the Constitution study, and today we're looking at the dangerous combination of the centralization of both money and power. Now, we talked in the first half about, well, baby formula and schooling, but let's take a look at something that, well, hits a little closer to home right now, at least for most of us. That is our record high inflation. Now, I find it absolutely incredible that people can look at this and not see that a recession is on the horizon, but let's take a look at what's going on today. See, according to economist Mohammed El Arayan, most of the inflation you're suffering with today could have been avoided if the Federal Reserve had just done two things. One, acted early when signs of inflation, when the inflation was first starting. And second, shown just a little bit of humility and recognized that it was wrong when it said inflation was transitory. If they had done that, it wouldn't have been such a big deal. I'm not saying we wouldn't have had inflation. It probably we would have, but maybe it wouldn't be these record-setting numbers. Now, El Arayan was, he's an economic, a chief economic advisor for Allianz. He was on CBS's Face the Nation. And he says, we got here because we got a combination of things happening. He cited the war in Ukraine, our energy transition, and how the Fed incorrectly judged inflation and fell behind. Now, if you notice, two of those three things deal with the federal government. The United States of America has little impact on the war in Ukraine, but our forced energy transition. See, this is not an organic energy. This is a dictated energy transition from those in power in Washington, D.C., and those who created the Federal Reserve gave them centralized power, and they got it wrong. They made a mistake. Now, they're human. It's not that they made a mistake. Mistakes happen. But the fact that they arrogantly ignored what was going on, combined with the fact that we've put all the power for our monetary policy in the hands of a few people and said, you make all the decisions and 330 million Americans will just have to live with the consequences. We've put money and power in the hands of a few and we are watching the outcome. Sure, when they get it right, we all benefit. But when they get it wrong, we all suffer. And while, because we're human, we know they're going to get it wrong. We don't know if they're ever going to get it right. But we're pretty sure, sooner or later, they're going to get it wrong. So when you head to the grocery store, or you head to the gas station, or you pay your electric bill, or your this winter when you're paying your heating oil bill, recognize that according to a top economist, two of the three reasons our inflation is so high can directly be linked to the federal government. The forced transition off of fossil fuels, the policies that this administration has put in place to do so, and the policies of the Federal Reserve, which was created by Congress, including representatives of we the people, those are two of the main three factors that are driving this record-breaking inflation. Centralization, power corrupts, money is the root of all kinds of evil. Hopefully, we should be sensing a theme here. We should be sensing a recurrence here. Now, just a couple weeks ago, I actually drove from where I live outside of Nashville down near Houston, Texas. And boy, I mean, gas prices are insane. But what's interesting, when Joe Biden says that when it comes to gas prices, we're going through an incredible transition that is taking place that, God willing, winter is over, we will be stronger and less reliant on fossil fuels when this is over. Oh, so the pain at the pump, the crippling of the economy. Oh, God willing, we'll still have a crippled economy. We'll still be low on energy. But thank God we won't have fossil fuels. This is the policies that we the people elected to put it, this person to put in place. Now, again, we didn't directly elect the president. There were plenty of shenanigans in the election. Contrary to January 6th, there is evidence of fraud and corruption in the election process that could have impacted the election. I know, 5 states that illegally appointed electors for president? So there's a lot of shenanigans, but we the people didn't do anything when the problem showed up. We sat back and we sat on our thumbs and expected somebody else to deal with it. So now we have a chief executive, a president of the United States, who is willing for us to go through this tremendous pain at the pump so that we won't be reliant on fossil fuels that we are sitting on a literal sea of. You look at Alaska, the northern plains, there are God knows how many barrels, probably trillions of barrels of oil that we can get at, that we're not going to get at because Biden is afraid of a climate change that has yet to fit the models predicting it. Now, I'm sure someone's going to say, Paul, you're anti-science. No, let's try a scientific model. Let's try a scientific process. Scientific process, you hypothesize, you test, you observe the test, and then you modify your hypothesis. Well, the hypothesis is that man-made climate change is going to kill us all. So let's test it. Well, those claims are based on models, mathematical models, computer models. Let's test how those models have been over the last several decades. We have decades of data on that. And when we analyze that, we find out those models have been not just a little bit wrong. They have been orders of magnitude wrong. They have not been close to right. I think if we were to grade them, we might come in at around, most of them, we probably come in at around, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 out of 100. So if we want to modify the hypothesis, man-made global warming may be a problem, but certainly not in the time frame we have here. You're not going to be dying from global warming anytime in the near future. Especially when you look at more science, it says, you know what? Carbon dioxide helps plants grow. That overall, the planet has been made greener. But no, it doesn't matter. We have we have centralized power with someone who says, we are going to put in policies to force you to do what we want. Because it's not just money. It's power. Want another example? Has anyone else noticed that delays and cancellations of air flights have been going up lately? Well, part of the reason is a pilot shortage. Now, how do we have a pilot shortage? I mean, I actually considered being a pilot when I was a teenager. It was one of my possible career choices. I didn't go that way, but why? Why are we dealing with a pilot shortage? Now, that's not all of the problem, but there are some issues with the cancellations due to we can't find pilots that can fly. They've run out of hours or whatever. Well, believe it or not, part of it can go back to a air crash near Buffalo, New York in 2009 where 50 people were killed. I know, it's tragic. We hate hearing about that. Now, in response to this and the NTSB investigation, Congress changed the law and said airlines could only hire new commercial pilots if they've had 1,500 hours of flight time. So it used to be 250 hours. Now it's 1,500 hours. Okay, excuse me, but time. Where did Congress get the authority to tell airlines who they can and cannot hire? Nowhere. But you see, air disasters, they scare people. I'm weird. I actually enjoy watching programs on investigating airline disasters, not because of the disaster, but because of what we can learn from it. So having been an amateur pilot, having flown for a while, considered a career in that, it takes time to build up hours, and it takes money to build. It's not easy to operate your own airplane. So if you can, you know, in fact, many people, I believe, actually go to college to put in these, to get the training, and to go from 250 hours to 1,500 hours, six times more flight hours before you're allowed to be hired by an airline and start making some of that money back. But Paul, this will save lives, won't it? Well, guess what? There's no evidence that it was flight time that would have prevented the disaster that supposedly led to this new law. Why? because both the pilot and co-pilot had well over 1,500 hours of flight time. The pilot had over 3,300 hours and the co-pilot over 2,200 hours. But again, we got to do something. Let's pass this law. And now, because it's harder to hire new pilots, because you can't work for a little while. You can't learn, get your flight training, pay for your flight training, pay for the hours in an aircraft. Do this until you're proficient and then be hired by an airline and be further trained into bigger and better aircraft. They need to jump this big hurdle. I've heard it described as a ladder, right? Let's say you've got a ladder and you're trying to climb up the ladder. If they start taking out the lower rungs, it's harder to climb the ladder. Well, that's exactly what Congress has done. So if you are flying somewhere this summer on vacation, or if you fly for work and you're finding that more and more of your flights are delayed or canceled, well, you can thank in part the fact that Congress passed a law making it harder to hire new pilots. They did so even though it would make no difference to the, it would not have prevented the crash that they claimed they were passing this to stop. But the fact that we centralized the power in Washington and we gave an executive agency the power to determine, okay, you want to be a pilot? You want to be a commercial pilot? You want to work for an airline? Here you go. We're going to tell you how to do this. We're not going to advise you about the quality of the airlines. We're not going to advise you about the quality of the maintenance. We are going to set the rules. We are going to assume the power. And when that power is abused, when that power leads to corruption, it tends to corrupt absolutely. Speaking of flying, you know, one of the things I considered as part of my career was to become a naval aviator. This was actually before Top Gun came out, but it, you know, think about it. One of the reasons I didn't go that way is I couldn't fit into a fighter plane. I'm too big. And I wanted to fly, if I was going to fly for the Navy, I wanted to fly fighters. All right. What does that have to do with my next story? Well, the Secretary of the Navy made an announcement recently. So Secretary Carlos Del Toro issued a report in which he said that climate change is an existential threat and the focus of his time as Secretary of the Navy. Excuse me. I thought the Navy was about defense. I thought the Navy was about projecting American power so that we can fight if we have to overseas and not here on the mainland. I thought your job was to run a Navy, not to be a climate alarmist. Excuse me, Mr. Del Toro. That's not your job. Now, maybe it is. Maybe Biden has made it his job. But again, Biden works for the states and the states work for us. We've hired this. We've allowed this centralization of power. And that means when you put in place a person with a wrong assumption, that impacts tremendous parts of your life. Let's say you're in the Navy or you're a young person considering joining the Navy. What is the impact of finding out, oh yeah, you're not there to sail ships or fly planes or do any other of the myriad of things that the Navy does? Nope. We're more worried about climate change than about the job we were hired to, that you joined up to do. See, by focusing so much of government's power in a president, illegally, by the way, now you put in a president with some really goofy ideas, and the damage done is truly catastrophic. Because remember, the FDA, they work for the president. The schools don't work for the president, although the Department of Education has a lot of influence on what was going up. But the Fed follows policies in large part from the president. The president has set up these regulations for to try and quote unquote wean us off of fossil fuels. And now we have the Navy chief, the Secretary of the Navy, focused on climate rather than defense. See, that's, again, the problem. When you centralize power, when you make power more and more absolute, not only is it corrupting, but it's dangerous. Think of how many areas of policy that have changed because a single man won a single office. Because we have so centralized the power in that office. You see, when you put so many of our eggs into a single basket, all it takes is one mistake for all those eggs to break. Then there are certainly people out there who will say, listen, you can't make an omelet without breaking some eggs. But I'm going to deal with that after the break. So before I take this break, I want to remind you to, you know, you can listen to the Constitution Study live, but also please share that information with others. Let friends and family know about the Constitution Study, that they can listen live every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on America Out Loud Talk Radio, which is heard on the iHeartRadio network. Tell them that they can listen on our media player or through our apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. You can find all the information on AmericaOutloud.com, right there on the homepage. But you need to share it with others. You can also listen on podcasts. Typically, a day or two after my program's heard on the radio, it'll show up on the podcast. And you can hear it on Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, iHeart, basically any podcast tool, any podcast app that you like. Now, if you would also do me a favor, subscribe to the podcast, rate the podcast, rate the shows, especially on Apple Podcast. It helps other people find the Constitution Study. It helps other people find the news and information that we're trying to share. And as we're speaking about sharing, I'm traveling the country this summer and into the fall, trying to spread the blessings of liberty. That's what I call my tour, the Blessings of Liberty Tour. You can find out more at constitutionstudy.com/tour. You can also find out where I'm going to be speaking. You can even request that I come speak to your group or your event. Just fill out the form on that page, constitutionstudy.com/tour. And I'll get in touch with you and we'll see if we can make it happen. But share that information. Help other people find the blessings of liberty by joining the tour. And we'll be back right after these messages.
We wouldn't go a day without washing our hands, brushing our teeth, and washing our nose. Whoa, wait, we wash our nose? Yes, the number one place where bacteria, viruses, and pollen enter the body is through the nose. So the average person breathes over 23,000 times a day. That's 23,000 opportunities for bacteria, viruses, and irritants to get into your nose and make you sick. For an extra layer of protection, wash your nose with Clear. That is Clear, X-L-E-A-R. Clear's drug-free nasal spray features xylitol, an ingredient proven to block adhesion of many nasty bacteria and viruses and effectively clean, not just rinse like a saline, but wash your nose. Clear nasal spray quickly alleviates congestion, opens your airway, and ensures your body's natural defenses are strong. Read the research studies for yourself at clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Protect yourself from the pathogens and junk you breathe. Pick up a bottle for you and your family today.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study, and today we're looking at the unholy union of money and power and the corruption that it brings, the tyranny that it brings. Now, we've talked a lot so far today about the government. We've talked about the FDA. We've talked about Biden's energy policies. We've talked about the Navy. We've talked about the laws of Congress. We've talked a lot about that, but it's not simply government that's the problem. See, it's interesting. Right down the street from me, a new store has opened. Little mom and pop shop. And I'm looking forward to the opportunity to stop in. I haven't had a chance yet, but I'm going to stop in and check it out. Because have you noticed how so much of our lives have been consumed by large corporations? Think about it. The grocery stores you shop in are most likely part of large corporations. Or the big box stores, whether it be Walmart, Target, Lowe's, Home Depot. More and more, our lives are being driven to large corporations. Facebook, Twitter, and of course, corporate media. And what I find interesting is, look at the recent history. Corporate media and for that matter, a lot of law enforcement, seems to be rather uninterested with a certain type of violence. They seem amazingly interested with the violence in Uvalde, but they pay no attention to the violence going on around pregnancy centers. Well, for example, the other weekend, a pregnancy center in Gresham, Oregon was firebombed. An incendiary device was thrown through the window. Have you heard much about that? On Mother's Day, an Oregon Right to Life office was set on fire with two Molotov cocktails. The same day in Madison, Wisconsin, there was another pro-life group targeted with Molotov cocktails and vandalism. In fact, there have been at least 23 attacks carried out so far on pregnancy centers, churches, and pro-life groups since the draft opinion in the Dobbs case was leaked on May 2nd. But tell me, have you heard that in corporate media? Have you read that in corporate news? I haven't. Oh, sure, you may get one or two little stories, but, you know, we've been focused on Uvalde. We've been focused on January 6th. For 18 months, we've been focused on January 6th. They actually put on a production, a primetime production of the Kangaroo Court for the January 6th committee. But when that committee was asked, well, what about the riots in 2020? You're doing an investigation into the demonstration. What about the actual riots that happened in 2020? Nope, they're not interested in that. See, by focusing our news and our policies in one location or in large corporations, they get to dictate not only what you hear, but what you don't hear. And since, at least in the case of corporate media, they are wholeheartedly woke and in support of the Democratic Party, political party, you hear all about January 6th insurrection, and you hear nothing about the attacks on pro-life centers, on churches. It's all but silent. They will take quotes from President Trump and drop the words peaceful and patriotic to make it seem like President Trump ordered a riot at the Capitol. But they seem to pay no attention to, or little attention to, Senator Schumer threatening two justices, saying that they will pay for their decision. They will take quotes from President Trump and drop the words peaceful and patriotic to make it seem like President Trump ordered a riot at the Capitol. But they seem to pay no attention to, or little attention to, Senator Schumer threatening two justices, saying that they will pay for their decision. And when a U.S. representative, a Mr. Bowman, says that we've got to understand that this group has been radicalized by a great replacement myth and many other things and have been pushing for violence and even pushing for civil war. So that is what is at stake right now in terms of this election. Excuse me, Mr. Roman, you're saying that if the Republicans win, there's going to be a civil war? Tell me that isn't the example of the despotism that George Washington warned us about, the revenge natural to party politics. You're telling me, as a Democratic representative, if your team loses control of the House, there's going to be a civil war? Tell me, how is that democratic? See, I know we're a republic, but you claim to be part of a Democratic Party that, when you don't get your way, threaten violence. You know what? That is democratic. That's exactly democratic. That's what Franklin warned us, right? What is democracy? Two wolves and a lamb voting on what to have for lunch. And guess what? If the wolves don't win, they'll just eat the lamb anyway, because they're wolves. This is democracy. This is apparently what the Democrats want. We get what we want, or we threaten you with violence. But again, it's not just government. emails that have recently been leaked reveal that State Farm's insurance has been moving to indoctrinate children in Florida as young as kindergartners in a woke gender ideology. Now, why? Well, again, State Farm, large corporation, lots of money, lots of influence. See, an email memo dated January 18th, sent from State Farm's corporate responsibility analyst, specifically requests local agents to receive books promoted by the Gender Cool Project, titled A Kid's Book About Being Transgender and A Kid's Book About Being Non-Binary. They were to donate them to classrooms, community centers, and libraries so that kindergarteners would have access to these books. Now, here's the twist. So State Farm is a corporation, good-sized corporation, large corporation. But State Farm didn't come up with this nonsense. No, State Farm has put in their corporate responsibility analyst and gone woke to indoctrinate kindergarteners with deviant sexualized identities because we've been driven that way, in my opinion, by our education system. Think about it. Where did this corporate responsibility analyst get the idea that it's okay to sexualize kids? Forget the transgender, forget the non-binary, to sexualize small children. Well, again, it's been in the news. Why has it been in the news? Well, partially because that corporate news media wants to promote this idea. But it's also been in the media. It's been coming out of Hollywood. But so much of this comes from academia. From the indoctrination of our children, the brainwashing of our young adults into this idea that reality doesn't matter. Whatever you think is true. And it is so permeated. We've become so dependent on these few sources of information that have been drilling us with this information that now we see families going on the news, taking their attempt to transition their 14-year-old daughter into being a boy to the media, to becoming a public spectacle. And of course, they're referred to as being incredibly brave. But no, corporate media loves this stuff. They gobble it up. You see, we have placed our news, our society, everything in the hands of corporations, including our state and federal governments, especially the federal government. We have stopped thinking for ourselves. We've stopped acting like individuals, and we've become part of a machine. It goes all the way back to Hillary Clinton, and it takes a village. It's not that parents raise their children. Oh, no, no, no. Society as a whole must do it. And just as with the federal government, everything must fit just right. Everything must be exactly the same. Individuality is destroyed. Logic and reason are destroyed. They must be coerced into a single, unified thought process. Or this collectivism doesn't work. See, that's the thing about the centralization of money and power. They work as collectives. We collect all the power. Everybody's got to be the same. Sure, we'll give you some individuality. We'll give you some choices. But in the big things, everybody's got to be the same. We're doing everything we can to merge into a single organization. I heard a rabbi tell an interesting story years ago. So if you go back into the Old Testament, you'll find that when God told the Israelites to build an altar, he said, don't let a tool touch the stones. You take the stones as they are, and you make them fit into the altar. You do not alter the stones. You figure out how to position them so that they will fit. But how many of you remember the Tower of Babel? One of the interesting things about the Tower of Babel is it was made of bricks. Now, bricks are different than stones. See, bricks are uniform. They're all the same. They're generally all the same size, all the same shape. Makes it easy for them to fit together. But what's interesting is they don't interlock. They must be held together with mortar. And the logic that this rabbi was saying is if you notice, when you take existing stones and you put them together, you can get them to lock together, to support each other. But with bricks, they're not supported unless you have mortar. So, Paul, what does this have to do with what's going on here? Well, when we collectivize everything, when we assume a one-size-fits-all for everything, we must make everything the same. The same size, the same shape. Now take that thought and listen to what the cultural elites, the academics, the corporate media, the entertainment media, what are they telling us? Everybody must be exactly the same. Woman and man, interchangeable. Husband and wife, interchangeable. Everybody, not simply they must have the same opportunity to figure out how to fit into society. No, no, no. Everybody else must conform so that everybody looks exactly the same. We are getting close to celebrating our independence as a nation from Great Britain. The ability we had to be unique, to be different. See, the Declaration said that one of the unalienable rights we have is liberty, the ability to live our lives without unnecessary external influence, to be different. But we've lost this idea of different because we have, in part, I believe, because we have placed money and power in the hands of a small few and told them in some cases, allowed them in others, to dictate what is acceptable, to force others to be molded into an image they believe in. And then, of course, when administrations change, well, we just change the mold, and everybody's got to fit this new mold. See, I don't want people fitting into a mold. I want us to be unique. I want us to be different. I may disagree with you, but it doesn't mean I want to make you like me. I don't want you to be exactly like me. Trust me, I don't want my wife to be exactly like me. But what we see is that by making a single government larger and larger and larger, giving it more and more money, more and more power, and then by doing the same where we get our news and our entertainment and we purchase our groceries and we buy our coffee, by focusing them all on a small group because we get some tiny minuscule benefit, we've lost our ability to be different. When somebody who plays make-believe in the movies or on TV, or plays a sport really well, feels they have the power to tell other people how to live their life, we have lost that liberty, that uniqueness that made America great. When you're not allowed to challenge or disagree with the approved narrative, we've lost the uniqueness that gave us strength, that allowed America to become the powerhouse, both economically, militarily, a place where millions of people will brave shark-infested waters or dangerous travels. They will even break our laws to come here. Because we were unique. Yet all we seem to do is want to make ourselves exactly like everybody else. And by placing money and power in the hands of a few, we've taken them from trying to convince us to be like everybody else, to coerce us, to trying to coerce us to be like everybody else. If you want to know why America is the land of insanity that it is today, it's in large part because the American people allowed the money and the power to centralize and did nothing about it. Even worse, in many cases, we demanded that those in government and corporations, in the media and in Hollywood, we demanded that they rule us, that they tell us what we need to know, they tell us how to live, they take care of us. In many cases, we did it to ourselves. The good news is that also means we don't have to pay attention to them. Now, I'm not saying there won't be consequences. Nothing valuable comes without consequences. But I do say we can live free. I'm going to ask you one more thing before we go. I'm going to ask you to make AmericaOutloud.com your daily stop for the latest news and happenings. See, if we want to be free, we all must do our part. That includes sharing these stories and articles of podcasts and the videos to help secure the blessings of liberty for ourselves and our posterity.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends.